Welcome back to the Sports Line. Rich Roth, Ed Lane, live all across the Virginia Talk Radio Network. Sports on the show brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Wards Road in Lynchburg, Starkey Road in Roanoke, and another location in Roanoke on Valley View Boulevard. Get in the game with the all-new B-Dubs Game Break Live. Answer game-related questions for a chance to win big, including one of thousands of prizes. Register now at bdubsgamebreak.com. Time to talk to some more NFL. John Clayton of ESPN, kind enough to join us here on the Sports Line once again. Hi, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. I think last time we caught up with you was just as the season was getting underway, and we were reminiscing about the world's football, and we had to endure that over the course of the summer. Finally got to some real football. Now we're halfway through. What are your initial thoughts so far? I mean, what's the biggest storyline that you think is going on right now in the NFL?
Well, fortunately, I mean, it's got away from the domestic violence issues and all the off-field problems. I mean, that was a big theme in the first quarter of the season, and at least now with the great comebacks that have happened and kind of wild races in the AFC, you know, we're back to talking football, which I think is good. You know, certainly, you know, when you know that you don't have Adrian Peterson and a great player like Greg Hardy, I mean, that's been missing. But I think, you know, the big theme so far has just been the quarterback play, and I think it really emerged last week. Ben Roethlisberger throwing for 522 yards and Tom Brady putting up over more than 50 points. You can see that, you know, the impact, I think, in part because of the new emphasis that they're calling more defensive penalties on passing plays is opening things up. I mean, I think injuries to linebackers has been a factor. I mean, it's amazing to think that there's been, you know, 19 starting linebackers going on some kind of injured reserve list, and 53 of the 111 starters have at least missed a game with an injury. You know, when you take that many guys out, there's going to be an impact. But, you know, it's an offensive year, and it's a year where I think you've seen the disappointments in the NFC South, in the standpoint that they're 5-16-1 against the rest of the league.
What about injuries from celebrations? I mean, we've seen Steven Tulloch go down. Lamar Houston of Chicago just went down, both for the year with celebrations. I get you want your guys being passionate and playing with passion, but you've got that. Sammy Watkins, I think, celebrated a touchdown too soon, and it never happened. What's the mood around the NFL and around front offices about how some of these injuries are in celebrations are impacting the game?
One time when you know, you didn't see anything come out from the league as far as trying to readjust things for safety issues. I mean, if you do a dance and then get hurt, it's on you. There's no safety thing to prevent it other than saying, hey, don't do it. I mean, the discount double check dance by Steven Tulloch was poorly done and, of course, blew out his knee. And then Lamar Houston was purely selfish in the idea that he was trying to celebrate a sack down 25 points to the New England Patriots. And I'm sure that even though he's making big money and has a big contract, you know, that's going to affect his status with the Chicago Bears. I mean, it's just, you know, silliness, selfishness, but you're always going to have it because it's such an emotional game.
Silliness, selfishness, that leads me to the Dallas Cowboys. this whole Tony Romo thing, I mean, Jerry Jones, how much was he involved? Should he have been back? Shouldn't have been back? Will he play this week? What can you tell us about that whole mess of a situation amongst the team that's really been playing great up until last week?
Yeah, I mean, what you wonder about is that are they pushing it too hard? And I think there's a good chance that they are for two reasons. The success of the Dallas Cowboys is threefold. One is that DeMarco Murray's had a phenomenal season, averaging 131 yards a game. Two, that Tony Romo has been efficient and not making the turnovers. And three, the fact that the defense is only on the field for 56 plays a game, and part of that's because of Murray and Romo. But when you start chipping away at either one, it still exposes the fact that their defense isn't very good. It's still giving up 6.1 yards a game. You know, you can see that Jerry Jones was trying to push Tony, not necessarily push him, but make sure that, hey, you know, he can play, and now he may not be able to play this week for Arizona. And I still question, you know, that decision to put him back in, because all he did was come back in and make mistakes, and he has to then come back against Arizona, a team that you know, as a good run blitzing type of team, and a team that's going to blitz them like crazy. You know, that's scary. You know, Murray can't sustain 420 carries like this. At some point, you know, he's going to start wearing down. So they're pushing the envelope a little bit too much, and it could lead to a fall here in the second half of the season.
You mentioned that for the Cowboys. Philly just lost to Arizona, who has one loss on the year. We know San Francisco is going to get some guys back. Seattle has gotten rid of, jettisoned Virginia native Percy Harvin out. When you look at the second half of the year, not necessarily who's the best team now, but who are you most confident in the NFC as the team to beat when we head down the stretch?
Well, you know, right now it's Arizona, believe it or not. I mean, Philly, I think, has a great chance still to win the division, because I think you're going to see a drop-off in Dallas, particularly if Romo's going to be struggling with his back and Murray starts to slow down a little bit. But, you know, so Philly has a great chance to get a pretty high seed, but Arizona's in such great shape. And if they can beat the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday, you know, they're going to be 4-0 against the NFC East and a great chance to maybe have, you know, 8 or 9 non-division games. And the key in the NFC West is to at least go into those last 6 games with as many wins as you can, because it's, you know, it's going to be hard to win games in the NFC West when they're all playing each other. But if you have a game or two advantage, which they have right now and may be able to sustain, Arizona may be hard to catch and may end up with a number one seed.
John Clayton of ESPN joining us here on the Sports Line, talking some NFL and a big one tonight in the NFC South, which is really quite a mess. And it's kind of surprising. I mean, two playoff teams from last year, and then you've got the Atlanta Falcons, so much talent there, and the division's so bad. What do you make of the whole division right now?
Well, I'm just disappointed, because, I mean, you think any division that has Drew Brees, Cam Newton, and Matt Ryan is going to do well, and they did well, but now you can see their defenses have just gone south. I mean, Tampa Bay is now the worst defense in football, and that was one that Lovie Smith was supposed to fix up. I mean, it's amazing to think how bad things have gotten so quickly, and you scratch your head, you say, why? You know, it's like, you know, you look at New Orleans. I mean, that was a team that I thought had the best chance to be the number one seed, and they're sitting there with a 3-4 record. You know, Carolina can't stop anybody. What's happened to a defense that I thought had, for talent, you know, the second best front seven in football, only second to San Francisco? Is it just that Greg Hardy's missing? Maybe that's one player, but it's like they're not getting great play at the defensive tackle position. And then Atlanta, I mean, that's just a shell of a team right now with their offensive line injuries and average to below average defense. A major disappointment in the NFC South, but at least, you know, the one team that I guess who can win tonight may emerge as the team that'll come out and probably have an 8 or 9 win playoff run.
Is this the kind of year where, by the way, John Clayton, ESPN senior writer and reporter at Clayton ESPN on Twitter, is this the kind of year where, with what we've seen out of Denver and the fact they've retooled their defense and Peyton Manning doesn't seem to ever show signs of aging, that, you know, it's Denver and everyone else right now, and it may not even matter who they face on the way to or in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, you see that automatically. It's almost the same thing that Peyton did when he was at Indy. If you put Peyton on the Indy Colts, they win 12 games. You put him on the Denver Broncos, they win 13. And honestly, that's what I think is so fascinating about this week's matchup against Tom Brady. You know, Brady leads the series 10-5. He's won 7 out of 9 games in Foxborough against Peyton Manning. But you can argue this is the best team that Peyton's ever been on. Their defense is only giving up less than 5 yards a play, and you know, they're very good at stopping the run. They allow less than 80 yards, and they're very talented and very deep, and they're also very healthy. So this might be the team that, you know, gets this gets Peyton another Super Bowl ring. But I wonder if this is the best team that he's been on.
Does Rex Ryan make it through the season?
Yeah. I mean, first off, they starved him for cornerbacks. I mean, you know, you can't go into a season where from weeks 2 to 7 you take on 6 of the best quarterbacks in the league and have no corners, and that's what he didn't have. I mean, he could have had Darrelle Revis. They didn't give him to him. They could have had Dominic Rogers Cromartie. Instead, they got Dimitri Patterson, who ended up quitting on the team. That didn't work out. And so you then go into a season knowing that in that 6-game stretch you're going to give up 24 to 27 points, and your quarterback, Geno Smith, only averages 17.3 points a game. It was a formula that put him in a bad spot. To fire him would only rub a wound that I think was just, that's what was unfair to him.
Is John Idzik on the hot seat already there?
I think he has to be. I mean, let's put it this way. Maybe not in ownership minds, but all you have to do is read every paper in New York, every tabloid, every paper. They are absolutely bashing John Idzik. And, one, he was the one who drafted Geno Smith. That's okay. I mean, if you take a quarterback and it doesn't work out, way it is now with the salary cap, you just move on to the next quarterback. The difference is they didn't, they didn't recognize that this wasn't going to work out and kept pushing him out there. That's why it was wise to finally make the change and go to Michael Vick.
John Clayton, ESPN NFL writer and reporter, senior NFL writer and reporter, stopping by the Sports On across the Virginia Talk Radio Network. What about teams that are positioned to make a resurgence in the second half? And I guess we'll start but not limit it to the Redskins, who are expected to get RG3 back this week, San Francisco coming to full health. Give us a team or two that you like that's kind of flying under the radar right now, but come late December, we're sitting there looking at in playoff position.
Well, I mean, what you still have to look at are the four teams. Maybe you can look at Cleveland to a certain degree, but the four teams in the AFC North, because they're all pumped up by playing the AFC South and the NFC South, and that may give them enough wins where we might see something similar to last year, where the NFC East fed over the victories that got three teams in the AFC West into the playoffs. I mean, the NFC South right now is like 5-16-1 against the rest of the league. So, any one of those teams, maybe in Cleveland included, they could be factors. You look in the NFC, Arizona, again, just being an amazing story coming back from all the linebacker problems, not having Carson Palmer for a couple weeks. How they've done that, that's amazing. But, you'll still see San Francisco and Seattle bounce back. I think you can look at that happening. You'd have to look at a team, Philly still has the best chance in that division. But, it's sorted out a little bit in the NFC, but it's just wild right now in the AFC with 11 teams with winning records and Houston sitting there 4-4.
Yeah, that really is incredible, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, it's like, how would you like to be Houston? You're 4-4, feeling pretty good with Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback, and you're the 12th seed. You've got 11 teams ahead of you. That's remarkable.
What do you make of Philly?
I think that you can see they're good, and I still think that they have a great chance to be the number 2 seed. We'll see how they do down the stretch. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that defenses have figured out a little bit more about Nick Foles. I mean, Foles had 27 touchdowns and 2 turnovers last year. Now he's sitting there with 12 touchdowns and 9 interceptions on a team that's the second most or third most as far as turnovers in the league offensively. So some things have been figured out, but I still think they're good.
Seattle. Is it a case of where there's smoke, there's fire, or is all this being overblown?
I think it's overblown because the fire is gone. They traded Percy Harvin. Percy was one of the big problems because, when he's either not body slamming Golden Tate or he's getting into spats with Doug Baldwin and then he doesn't go in for the final series against Dallas, you can't have that. And naturally, when you have that kind of insubordination and tension and problems, it's going to take a couple weeks to sort out. So it's in the process of sorting out, the Marshawn Lynch thing. I mean, Marshawn always has a strained relationship with management. That's just because he's Marshawn Lynch. So I don't think you read too much into that. And there's no division on this team. I mean, the team has coming together with Russell Wilson as a quarterback.
I just can't get over. I mean, he wouldn't go into the game, and then there's Santonio Holmes, and the common denominator is the Jets here, right?
Yeah, how do you think that's going to work on a 1-7 team going through a quarterback transition? Not very well.
Can we sign up? Where can we sign up to be receivers? Because, I mean, I'm not very fast and athletic, John. I'm about, a 5'10", a buck 45, but I'll go into the game. I mean, is there a paycheck waiting for me up there in East Rutherford?
I don't know if John Idzik would pay it because he wouldn't pay for a cornerback. So.
John, thank you, man. It's always a pleasure catching up. We appreciate the insight. It's always fun talking with you. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
John Clayton, ESPN.
The New York Cavaliers and the Virginia Jets. Your two favorite teams, Rich. I know where your heart lies. You cared about North Carolina's academics, and when that was exposed, you had to shift to a team that just mirrors what you know.
What makes you think I could take more of that?
Well, you've already adopted. You got the Mets. You have the Jets.
But I was born into that. You think I just want more? More pain, more suffering, more torture?
You know.
Why would anyone sign up for that?
Because you need an excuse to keep calling your friends at the store, the liquor store.
I don't need an excuse for that.
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know why you would put yourself through that. The Jets, I would say at this point, that might be their best option, is just to wipe the slate clean this offseason.
I didn't want Idzik when they hired him. Like, of all the great candidates out there, and they were talking with one of the assistant GMs in
San Francisco.
Yep. There were a bunch of quality guys that the Jets were talking to, and then they hire the salary cap guy. You're like, hello, talent, draft.
Hello, Rich. You know what we need? We need to get a new salesperson. Where are we going to go? The accounting department.
Yeah.
You know, and with all due respect, now Melinda's a phenomenal asset to our team, but you don't go to this. I mean, just it's plugging a square peg into a round hole is what the Jets did.
Now, the only thing that I can think is that maybe we're not giving Woody Johnson enough credit.
What, he's trying to actually get to the top pick in the draft for Marcus Mariota with a new GM and a new coach so they can actually build something?
Well, what I was going to say was the new GM for the Jets when Idzik was brought in, and I'm going to keep this short because I know most of you don't give a damn about the Jets, and screw you if you don't.
Oh, that's your New York, God's country, Carolina hubris coming out.
The team needed a lot of talent. And Idzik wasn't that guy. He was the salary cap guy. But their salary cap situation was a mess as well. So maybe he hired Idzik, let him come in and clear up the cap space, which he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And now we'll show him the door and bring in a talent guy and just start over.
That might not be a bad idea.
But knowing the Jets, as I do, Rex will be gone. Idzik will stay.
They'll go get, like, the Jaguars offensive coordinator as their head coach.
And then 2 years from now, Idzik will be fired, and Woody will keep the coach.
Who'll
be a lame duck. Yeah, rinse, repeat.
It's kind of like the Redskins.
It's kind of like
a little
the Cavaliers. Craig Littlepage will stay. That's the one thing they don't do at UVA. They just leave the AD.
Well, Craig Littlepage has bought himself a little bit of a mulligan considering how great Tony Bennett
has
been.
Yes, there's no question.
And the baseball team has been very good with Brian O'Connor. Dom Starge is a legend with lacrosse. So, I mean, he's had some pretty good moves on his resume.
The soccer program has come upon hard times.
Yes, field hockey has underachieved a little bit up there.
Oh, is that right?
They're riding a little bit of a skid. Things are getting testy up there. For multiple fall sports, Rich. It's just the season in Charlottesville. Once you get past the fall, that's when their optimism grows.
Swimming and diving is outstanding. And tennis, of course. Football, though, not so much.
They'll look good in the spring game.
The Virginia Jets. I like that a lot.
The New York Cavaliers.
Hashtag the curse of Al Groh. 450. We're coming back.